Thanks for joining us for another awesome message from C3 Church Toronto. Our heart is that these podcasts would be a tool that helps you connect to God. If you need more info on our church, check out our website at www.c3toronto.com. Now grab a coffee and prepare your heart for a powerful word from God.
So what I thought would be fun is if we could do like a quick little chat up here on stage to help people get to know you a little bit, right. Because it's easy for me to it's hard for me to try to impart your heart and your story onto people. So I figured, why not just have you tell it a little bit? Is that all right?
That's awesome.
Okay, yeah. So
can I just say something first? I just want to say you have the best campus pastors. I appreciate the invitation because it's like coming home. Vanessa's like one of our daughters. She was very close to my second daughter, and she's seen my second daughter through a lot of stuff. So Vanessa, I honor you. And then Greggy, like, amazing young man. His heart for the Lord is just so exciting, and we got to marry them. And actually, the whole Toronto team that came out came from our house, came from our home. Yeah. So, Del, it's nice to see her up here. And, of course, our lovely senior minister, Jess Pickens, is with us. Yeah. No, I'm senior. You're junior senior, okay? So, thank you for the invitation.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Kelly. I love that we're family as a church. Don't you love that?
True.
It's beautiful. Speaking of that, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, and kind of your role in the church, Pastor Kel?
Oh, I have many roles. Number one, my first role is a wife, and that doesn't come above the church. I'm a wife, a mom, a grandma, senior minister, and then we oversee Canada. So that's kind of my life in the church. I am not like my husband, who is very out there. I'm very in here. I do a lot of the administration. Actually, I keep Lauren's life in order. He'll admit that. So,
thank you, Lauren. That's
my role, to keep my husband in order.
That's amazing. And tell us a bit about your family. You have three kids.
I have three kids, three married children, four grandchildren. And, you know, one thing about C3, when we first, like, we're adopted in, and what I really liked about C3 is the concept of family, because I am a family person through and through. And we took our kids to Hawaii to a C3 conference, and we said, well, what do you think? And they said, we love it. And all our kids are still in church, beautiful. Still loving church.
Oh,
our little
beautiful.
Grandbabies are up there praising the Lord.
Awesome. And how long have you and Pastor Lauren been married for?
We've been married in October, 37 years.
Oh, 37 years. I think that deserves some applause. Pastor Lauren sent me this question. How have you stayed so happily married for 37 years? Emphasis on so happily.
No, I was going to say happily. No, it's been a process. I have to say, Lauren, we come from a small town, and I married the man of Nipawin. And when I say that, everybody knew him. He was quite a renegade. He was quite a woman's man. Actually, he sold drugs before they became legal. And so somehow this very little innocent teacher's daughter just was so attracted to this wild man. And he asked me, he got saved, and then asked me on a date. And I couldn't believe that I got chosen. And I think some of you in here, you know, see this big picture and think, oh, if only it was me. Well, it was me. And I was so excited to get married. He asked me to marry him in a matter of, I think, a year. And for the first few years, extremely fun. Until I had to put up with his wildness. Because even though he became a believer, his wildness didn't leave. Mm. He was still the personality. He still wanted to do all these risky things. And right. For a person that didn't take risks, now I'm married to one that takes risks. Right. And so I would say we've gone from hell to happy. Is that all right to say?
Yeah. You're the boss. You decide what's okay to say.
But in these 37 years, this is what I have come to realize. And I say this to all young marrieds. You bring two bags into your marriage. You bring luggage and you bring baggage. You carry those two bags. The luggage is the dreams and the hopes. Lauren traveled around the world. I thought, yay, I'm going to get to travel around the world. Mm. That didn't happen until now. But I carried in the luggage, but it didn't take long until the few years the baggage had to be opened. So I was the one, being an introvert, lots of internal things going on, and I think I caused Lauren pain for quite a few years until the Lord said, just really put his thumb on me and said, you got to deal with some of the stuff. Mm. And the baggage was, you know, my family of origin, and the baggage were judgments, and my baggage was offenses, and my baggage was just so much. And that was just really, really deep inside of me. And the Lord says, no, now it's time to clean it up so you can get on with your luggage.
Right.
So you can dream. And so I would say for the last 15, 20 years, we have been happily married.
Oh, it is beautiful. Yeah. What, maybe to try to help some people here, this is an ad hoc question, so I hope you're all right with that. But
sure.
What did those initial steps look like? Because I'm sure there's people here who feel like they're carrying stuff, and they're like, what do I do with this stuff? Like, how do I take the first step in opening some of this up and letting some of this go? And
for some people, like, there's two different types of people. For me, the Lord just wanted me to acknowledge that I had stuff.
Yeah.
And I can acknowledge I have stuff in my head, and then it stays there and rattles around and just takes me different places. But he had me starting to journal. So I had to take what was in here and what was in here and put it on paper and actually see what I was, you know, looking at.
Yeah.
And it was ugly. Like, it was just some ugly stuff. But as I seen it, then he says, okay, what are we going to do with it? And you know, Jesus loves me so much. He just doesn't want me to stay there.
Yeah.
He has bigger and better life for us. And I just think that it's sad when I see people my age still there. Because they won't deal with it.
Yeah.
And the pain is worth the gain.
Oh.
And so that's
beautiful.
How I process.
That's awesome. Maybe this is a good time for you to talk a bit about what this is, Pastor Kel, because you're talking about journaling a little bit. And
I am talking about journaling. I do have a word for you guys, but this is a tool that Lauren has developed this year, and we put all the church, asked them to do an identity journal, because I think the core of all of us is our identity. And we try and, you know, change the outside without dealing with the inside. But the inside will definitely ooze out. The word says it, it will.
Yeah.
And so the identity journal is just a tool of when you read the word and the Lord speaks to you, you write it down and then you process how you go through it. You should go to West Campus next. Lauren will tell you exactly. Because he, the thing is, you'll go home after this with a word.
Yeah.
But something will happen today that word will be stolen.
Yeah.
Unless you grab onto it. And I think the identity journal has just helped me. Like, I really like who I am now.
That's beautiful.
And I think my husband does too. My kids do. And because it's been a process, it's a journey of identification.
Awesome. So these, you can get these out at the welcome spot. They're only $10, and it's like, it just helps guide you through some of the steps of articulating thoughts of what did God speak to me. So I would encourage you, pick one of these up to help you process the thoughts you need to. I'm going to. It's going to be helpful. So Pastor Kel, tell me, because I hear when you married Pastor Lauren, he was a farmer, and then all of a sudden he got called to do ministry. He felt like God's calling us to plant a church. What was that transition like?
That was cruel. I did. I married a farmer who I just thought, you know, every winter I would be going to Mexico or something like that because, you know, you sow and reap and all that. And no, the Lord called him into ministry. But I want to say now he called us into ministry.
Beautiful.
But boy, did I fight it. You know, again, I'm truthfully, and sorry, I don't mean to, if this, I don't want to offend anybody, but I made Lauren's life a living hell because I fought the ministry so hard. I didn't want to be in ministry. And you know why? Because I think my parents, they had said, well, they knew I married a farmer and he wanted to go into ministry. And, well, that's not a very prestigious job. They had such a negative view of the ministry. And I started to believe that. So now I'm fighting all the time. And we were going to church one day, and like it was just so bad. How many? No, don't put your hand up. I'm sure you've all had the fight on the way to church.
Arguments.
But this was so bad, and I said, you know, I'm done. I am so done with ministry. I'm the pastor's wife. I can't go anywhere. I'm sitting on the front seat, hating what we're doing. And so he said, okay, I'll leave. I'll leave the ministry and we'll do something else. That evening, the Lord said to me, you're not fighting him. You're against me.
Wow.
Oh, boy. How many know that when it's you and God, you don't win?
Yeah.
So at that point, the Lord was so gracious that because he knew our destiny, he knew our identity, he put someone in our path that just came and gave me a very corrective word. And I didn't have to listen to the word, but it was corrected because it was brought out of love.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, get your act in order. And so that's part of the marriage and the ministry.
Yeah.
What happens in ministry and what happens in marriage is they're both mirrors. And they bring up stuff within you. If you don't want to deal with that stuff, it's all right. Just push it back down. Mm-hmm. But that stuff will still come up.
Yeah.
So, like, even though Lauren was in the ministry, like, I was just not fighting him. I was fighting what God was trying to do with me. So...
So you've pushed through a lot of that, and then I'm sure there's been a lot of joy in it. So why don't you, as a last thought, before I give you a chance to help us with a word, but why don't you tell us what's the greatest joy that you've experienced in doing ministry?
First of all, the greatest joy is knowing my Lord more and more and more.
Beautiful.
Like, I have quiet times in the morning and I can hardly wait to get there because I know he's there. And I know he's freed me from so much stuff. But the greatest joy is relationships. It's the friendships we've made, lifelong friends. Our C3 family is incredible around the world.
Yeah.
You get to go to another country and it feels just like home.
Yeah.
And I think that's what C3 creates is home. But then the greatest joy is to see my kids all here and doing what they're doing. And all of you are kind of spiritual kids to us because this is their family, and so we just want to celebrate all of you. You're our greatest joy.
Oh, beautiful. Why don't you give Pastor Kelly a hand? And what we're going to do now is, I think you have some stuff to help us with, right? So we'll bring the pulpit up, and then you
sure,
can
get
going.
Sure, I just want to share a bit.
The platform is
see,
all yours.
I don't see that time that you told me. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay.
You're good.
I do see it. I told them I might not because at my age now I need cheaters.
Thank you, Pastor Kel.
Well, I've told you a little bit about me, and this is not me standing in front of people. I'm very, tend to be very introverted, but I know that the Lord has a word for you this morning. I like that you're talking about know thy voice. And how many know that today, like, you are bombarded with voices. You are bombarded with social media. I went for a walk in your mall in Eaton Center, and I took one loop and had to leave because everything that was coming at me was just kind of like, get me out of here. But you're bombarded with voices. For me, it was always bombarded in my head. And I just, like I said, what do you do when it's all in your head? How do you hear his voice? And a few years ago, well, before he did the identity one, he challenged the whole church to read through their Bible. Now, I was challenged to read through my Bible when I was young, you know, read your Bible. And I just thought, well, how? And I never studied the Bible. I read scriptures. Actually, I went to the Word to get a word to confirm how I was feeling and then say, I got the word. But for the last 15 years, I go to the word and say, what do you want to say? And it comes to me. So you don't go to the word to confirm your ideas or your beliefs. You go to the word to confirm, he confirms that. So a year before this, we were challenged to go read through the Bible and the whole church, and I would say 60% did, and then this year after was about applying it. Because there's something about reading the word, and then there's something about applying it. That's why this helps you apply it. The scripture that I have for you today is Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. And I'm going to go through it. This is from the Passion Bible, which I have learned. Also, I just want to say the one-year Bible was very good for me because I'm a very systematic person, and I like that it's all laid out. If you're a creative person and you have a different way of reading the Bible, then good on ya. But for someone that's very thought, I think a lot like Greg. I should be an engineer. And I like the systems. But even though I read the same passages the same day every year, the Lord always speaks because the word is alive. You can get a word up here from Pastor Greg or Vanessa, from Pastor Sam or Jess. You can get that word, but that's their word that they're delivering to you. But how about if the Lord wants to speak to you very personally in your quiet time in the morning? That's the word you want to grasp onto. So I'm going to go through this a little quick, and then I'm going to take it a little slow, because this is how my journey went. Listen carefully, my dear child, to everything that I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Then as you unwrap my words, they will impart true life and radiant health, for they affect all that you are. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. The Lord spoke to me again. This is a personal word, and it's a personal word for some of you. Because the first part of it says, listen carefully. The Lord is constantly speaking to you all the time. He is never not speaking to you. But in John 10, what you're studying about knowing thy voice is the shepherd speaks and the sheep follow. I don't follow all the time. I don't think we follow. I think he speaks and then we judge the word that he speaks and says, oh, that's not for me. Or maybe some other day. So if you want the Lord to speak to you, you have to preempt it with, I will follow when he speaks the word. Listen carefully, my dear child, and he speaks to us all individually like that. To everything I teach you, and pay attention to all that I have to say. Fill your thoughts with my words until they penetrate deep into your spirit. Our thoughts, our thought life is so key in all that we do. How you think of yourself, how you think of your relationships, how you think of church, how you think of anything. Everything begins up here and eventually sinks down here. How is your thought life? We've never been confronted with so much anxiety and depression like we have in some of our young people in our church. And I will often, I'm not against medication if you need medication, but I'll just say, just tell me what you're thinking. Because most of what they're thinking are just lies. And you're feeding that, and your spirit is just taking in everything. And what you sow, you reap. So watch what's coming in. Second verse then says, then as you unwrap my words, his words, not your words, as you unwrap his words, they will impart true life and radiant health. Who wants true life and radiant health? Into the very core of your being, into the very identity of who you are. The world is telling you who you are and who you're not. But if the Lord speaks to you, which is why this journal is so important, it's his words. His words tell you to the core of who you are. It's alive and moving. So above all, so first of all, we have our thoughts. What's going into our thoughts? Above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. Your heart is a doorway. It's like the gate and with the sheepfold. You invite Jesus in through the gate. That's your heart. But do you know that you invite other stuff into your heart? Do you know that there's stuff in your heart before you got saved that needs to kind of come out? You know, I've heard that Jesus comes in and renovates your heart. And I picture he comes in, and I love rearranging my furniture. And it's just like the Lord coming in and saying, you know, I think we'll move this over here and we'll get rid of this here. But he doesn't force me to renovate. It's the choice. if I want to get things out and in order. So above all, guard the affections of your heart, for they affect all that you are. In Galatians 5:9, it says, don't you know that when you allow even a little lie into your heart, it can penetrate your entire belief system. The final verse I want to say is probably the hardest for a bunch of you. Pay attention to the welfare of your innermost being, for from there flows the wellspring of life. There's somewhere deep inside of us, we are made up body, soul, and spirit. Most believers that I've met, again, even at my age, are very soulish Christians. Not like Jesus comes in, that's fine. We're saved. But then we have this journey of becoming more like Jesus. And as we allow him to come in to those areas, he starts bringing his life in and through us. I got these new shoes for conference. And those that are close to me know I like shoes. And I wore them the first time, and you know, we were meeting and greeting all the, I call them the big people, because I always feel like a little people. And you know, my foot was just hurting really, really bad. And I just thought, oh, I can deal with a blister, no problem. And you know, the pain was just really great, but I was bearing through the pain. And we got to the function or the meeting, and I went to the washroom, and I looked down at my foot, and actually there was, sorry to gross you out, but there was just blood coming all over. I had ignored the pain, thinking it'll go away. And here I was just, this blood was going to affect everybody because they're going to see it. Your deepest pain can be your deepest gain, but you have to deal with it because it does affect people around you. So my heart for each of you today is God has a special word just for you. Don't just take it in your head. Allow it to penetrate deep into your heart, and then from there will flow life. You're not here just, I'm not up here just to be up here. But God's done tremendous things in my life and freed me from so many things that have caused me so much pain and give me a great joy. My marriage wouldn't be as it was if I didn't go to that area of pain. Our church wouldn't be, we wouldn't be in ministry if I didn't go there. So don't be scared of the pain. The pain is your gain. And the Lord wants to heal that because actually there's someone right beside you that needs your healing for their freedom. So let the Lord speak to your heart. He has a word for you. Go to his word, not to your friends, not to social media, not to the world around you. He knows how he made you. He made you, and you're the apple of his eye. So glow with all the creativity he's given you. I'm going to just turn this back over to Pastor Greg. Thank you for allowing me to just share with you this morning. The Lord loves you deeply and dearly, and he wants to show you even more in his word. Amen. How much he does.
Amen. Why don't you give Pastor Kelly a big hand? the beautiful thing is she's lived this out. This isn't just like empty words up here, but she's lived this out. And to me, it's impossible to acknowledge the pain without having an answer to that pain. And Jesus is the answer. He helps me walk through all of my stuff. I know he's helped Pastor Kelly to walk through all of her stuff. And it would be a shame for us to come in here and say, acknowledge the stuff that's going on in your life without encouraging you to acknowledge the answer that's standing right there in front of you. And that is Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never made that acknowledgement before. You've never known that Jesus actually wants relationship with me. Jesus actually wants to get to know me. But you're hearing Pastor Kelly talk about a bit of her journey, and there's something inside of you that's saying, maybe this is for me. Like, maybe this whole relationship with God thing is something that I need. In a moment, I'm just going to ask you to slip up your hand, and all that is a signal for me to say, yeah, I can pray for you. I'm not going to bring you out to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. This is a moment between you and God, and I'd love to pray with you. Maybe you're here this morning, and you've walked with Jesus before. You've been in relationship with him in the past. But maybe it's like that whole cut on the foot. There's been some pain in your world that you've been ignoring, and you've just been walking through, and now you're looking and seeing it, and you're like, I need an answer to help walk out this pain with. And you want to restart and recommit your journey with Jesus this morning. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to slip up your hand just so I can pray with you. And maybe you're here and you don't even know that if I were to die, would I end up in heaven with God? Would my eternity be with him? My Bible says that as we believe in our hearts and as we confess with our mouths that we are saved, that we receive the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing our future. So if you're not sure about your eternity, then in a moment, I'm going to ask you to just slip up your hand so we can pray this prayer together that just helps set things right. So if I could ask every single person in the room to just close your eyes, bow your heads. And if you're any of those three types of people, can you just slip up your hand for me so I can pray with you? Thank you.